So it's two shows. The first one is Two Across. It is a what is the thing? A comedy of crosswords and romance by Jerry Mayer. And then the second show is The Outrageous Adventures of Sheldon and Mrs. Levine, A Son's Elusive Search for His Mother's Happiness by Sam Bobrick and Julie Stein.
Okay, so could you summarize what each one of those is about?
Okay, I'll summarize Two Across. Two Across, basically, it's a story of two strangers who love crosswords. They find themselves alone on a train in San Francisco. It's really, really early in the morning, and they help each other solve each other's puzzles and help each other solve each other's life puzzles.
Very good. Nice summary, Jared.
All right. I love the...
And then the second one, Sheldon and Mrs. Levine, is about, it's kind of almost kind of like what the tagline said. It's a mother, an overbearing mother, Lori?
No, not at all.
No, not at all. Overprotective.
Yeah, overbearing is a good, yes.
And her son, and her adult son.
Yes. He's 30. 32. He's 32. He was 31, but he turned 32 on last Friday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He turns 32, and so that show is really interesting because it's the mother and son reading letters to each other over the course of a few years.
Quite a few
and,
years, I think.
They, and their journeys of self-discovery and self-actualization and other fancy psychological words.
Yes. It's I'm the overbearing mother. And please, Ryan, if you're listening, that's not true, right? No, it's a great play. It's fun because it is kind of a reader's theater,
yes.
and that's really good for me. But, you know, we also get a chance to kind of be silly and funny, and it's a great play.
It's great. Lori, you're hilarious.
Yes.
People should not miss you.
Yes.
I don't know about that. Don't build them up too much to disappoint them.
So you've had one performance already? That's what I've been hearing?
No.
Oh gosh, no!
Thank goodness.
Just absolutely perfect, infallible dress rehearsal. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing how much how wonderful we retain our.
Oh yes, and our blocking.
Yeah,
and
our
sound cues and everything.
Everything is
perfect.
Just perfect. It's just beyond words.
I'm sure it'll continue to be perfect in the same way.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah, that was a lot of sarcasm.
In a different way. At the next performance, the official performance, which is when?
Starts Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Drama Pod. Tickets are $12. Not bad. It's a great price for two shows.
And those are available where? I've had quite a few people ask me that.
At the door.
At the door.
That's what I told
you. So is it the box office or just at the door?
At the door.
Okay.
A table at the door.
A table at the door. Oh, very official. Okay, good, good. That's okay.
Can you get it ahead of time? Or is it
I
like
don't think so.
On the night kind of thing?
On the night.
Okay. First come, first serve.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why we're doing it for three nights, because I think they've found that sometimes they're just oversold each night. Right?
Yeah. And you know, and for me as an actor, two shows is okay, but there's something a little more fulfilling about doing three shows and avoiding matinees.
Yeah. No, I don't really like matinees.
No, why not?
Oh, they're just, I don't know. People tend to bring their children, and this is definitely not children-oriented shows.
Yes.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, they tend to want to bring their children to matinees. Oh, sorry.
I think that's Anthony.
That's Anthony going, is that what it is?
Anthony White, he plays Sheldon Levine, Mrs. Levine's son, who's kind of, he's a wayward son. He doesn't really know who he is, and so he's trying to discover his own identity, and he goes through several different identities. One of them may or may not be Elvis Presley.
Yeah, may or may not be.
Wow.
That's a good way of putting that.
He's exploring whether one of his identities is Elvis Presley.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's a long way to go.
And he has a parrot that speaks Spanish named Roberto.
Yes, yes. We're excited about Roberto. We never know what apparition that Roberto will appear as.
He's been a penguin.
He's been a penguin. He's
a
been a robin. We'll see what else he comes
I think an emu might be coming
emu,
next.
There you go. Emu would be fun. Ostrich would be fun, too. A little big, but...
You might have one of these birds on stage, or
you just never know.
I think we should go. A real one could fly in at any moment.
Oh my gosh, Tom would not want a live bird.
No.
I think if we had enough listeners call in,
as Akbar would say.
Akbar is one of Mrs. Levine's husbands in the play.
And he has a little saying.
He has
about,
a lot of advice.
He has a little saying. You have to come to the show to hear it, though.
Yeah.
That he has a little saying about birds and things. So. Mm-hmm.
How many husbands does she have?
I think I just end up with two at the end, but I've got a third one on the hook.
Polygamy?
No.
she waits till they're dead.
I wait till they're at least dead.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. Which usually they're better off dead than alive.
Where does this play take place?
Which one? Sheldon and Mrs. Levine?
Yeah.
So where is Mrs. Levine? They're in Rochelle.
In New Rochelle, yeah. New York. Yes.
That's where Mrs. Levine is.
Yes, and then Sheldon's all over the place.
Yeah,
Sheldon travels quite a bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he travels quite a bit, and he's quite the wanderer.
Hmm.
But, yeah, mostly New Rochelle and probably New York City to a certain extent, but it's a really cheesy apartment, so... It's a really cheesy apartment.
I felt some, New York vibes coming from this plot.
Yeah.
With the Spanish-speaking parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a New York thing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We all have parrots with Spanish skills.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
The Puerto Rican influence.
With the Puerto Rican influence. There you go.
Spanish Harlem.
Yeah.
So are you also directing when the play is directed?
That one, yeah. I'm directing Sheldon and Mrs. Levine. And like Lori said, it's more of a reader's theater, so it didn't need too much direction. And Lori and Anthony just kind of fell right into their roles.
Tripped is more like it.
It's perfectly cast.
Yeah. For those of us not in touch with theater terms, what is a reader's theater?
That just means that instead of getting up and having all their lines memorized and figuring out the blocking and choreography and moving around on stage, it's pretty much somebody standing there with a book and reading the lines. And for many plays that are really just there are a lot of plays, two-character plays that are two characters reading letters back and forth to each other. That's very typical to do for reader's theater. And so this play, you could do it reader's theater. You could do it with the lines memorized. And in fact, I think at this point you've got Anthony's got a lot of them memorized, but it's still nice because they have the book and they're writing and they can do things with the pen and.
And it's really good because I have a really horrible memory.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really do.
Join the club.
Yeah, so it's real. I enjoy a reader's theater because I can still be a character and still be funny because I enjoy being funny and but not have to, like, stress myself out on learning lines. And I have to, like, learn two pages of lines, and I've been writing them all morning on a piece of paper, like, I will not chew gum in class. I've been writing it all morning.
That's good.
But there's still a craft to working with the lines, though, because there's still a rhythm, there's still intonations, there are beats, mm-hmm. there's emphasis,
yep.
so
yep.
there's characterization delivery. That comes out, delivery. I don't know if it's necessarily easier, but...
It is easier in a sense that the guest, of course, the memorization part, because that for me is, that's the scariest part of the whole thing. But, learning, being able to read the line and then realizing that the line didn't necessarily end at the end of the pen there. There's an art to that because sometimes you'll read and all of a sudden think, oh, shit. I'm sorry, bleep that. Oh, shoot.
This is the scene.
5 second delay.
Yeah, 5 second delay. Thank
you. We don't do that.
For that.
That's okay.
She's not a very classy
This is
girl,
not. This,
I gotta
is,
tell
this
you.
Is not a family show,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, 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 but it is not a family show. But sometimes you realize, oh no, there were three more words in that sentence, so now what do I do? Do I, like, forget them, or do I, like, go, oh, and of course. it takes some practice, sure. Miss Carmen, you haven't said anything over there. You need to say something.
I've just been adding into the conversation.
So what is your character like?
My character is a psychologist and who's very reserved and doesn't like to have a lot of fun. He's afraid to have some fun.
And
But she meets Josh, who's relentless and won't give up and keeps trying to get her to laugh and kind of to open up, so to speak. And so she actually ends up getting help from him about her problems. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of an interesting character. We kind of reverse roles a little bit.
Okay. And what's it like directing for you?
I like it. I like it a lot because you know, some directors have like a vision of what they want to do, but for me, it's really just like having fun with actors on stage, and developing that kind of relationship with the actors and with the characters. I usually don't go into a show with any kind of particular vision of what it's going to look like at the end, because for me, the art and the value is the process itself. And so it was a lot of making jokes and collaboration and just kind of letting some of the, you know, Anthony's a pro, Lori's a pro too. She wouldn't consider herself a pro, but she's got good instincts. And so trying to like pull out those instincts and create a safe environment that you can like experiment with those instincts. If they work, they work. If not, that's fine. You can move on to something else.
But. He's great because he laughs at things, and that makes you, encourages the actors because he laughs. He's really good at when he knows there's something funny, he laughs, and then of course it makes me, in my case, want to be funnier. And I think it's the same way with Anthony.
It's reinforcing.
It's reinforcing, and we just want to be funny because we know we want to make him laugh, and that's good. He laughs easily, so that makes him a good director.
He's an easy laugh.
Yeah, he's
an easy laugh. Yeah, he is an easy laugh.
So do you have any experience directing before this?
Let's see. I have done a few other shows. I'm the drama director for Kodiak Middle School, so I do a play with about 40 middle schoolers, 30 to 40 middle schoolers every spring. which there's not so much, you know, like collaboration and, that kind of work. You have to be a little more dictatorial.
Directive.
Yeah, more directive with them. And then I've done, let's see, with Fairwind Players, I did, Mrs. Mannerly a few years ago for the Lions Club Valentine's Day dinner. And then through the college, I've done a few things. I teach theater class at the college, and so done some things.
So
there.
Didn't you direct MASH, too?
Oh, yeah, Mike Wall and I. Yeah, it was a Mike Wall joint and Jerry Griffin joint. Yeah, we did MASH for the Arts Council a couple of years ago, that was such a blast. Oh, my gosh. It was a lot of fun, and that was also a huge cast. I think we ended up with 47 in that cast, and that was the biggest. I'm used to doing like small shows with like 5 or 6 people, but yeah, that was huge.
That was very big.
So, where are you guys all from?
Well,
New Rochelle.
I'm actually originally from New Hampshire, but I've been in Alaska over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
where in New Hampshire?
Right outside of Manchester.
Okay. A
podunk town my husband calls Geeks Town, but it's actually Goff's Town.
Oh, that's so
tiny little geek town.
Geek Town.
Geeks Town, yeah.
What about you?
I'm from Appleton, Wisconsin, originally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jared, where are you from?
I'm from all over. I'm a military brat, so I was born in New Jersey.
Newark, yeah. Huh? In Newark?
No, not Newark. There is a joke about Newark.
I know.
The Levine play.
There is a joke about Newark.
I was born in New Jersey, lived in South Dakota, spent most of my childhood in Anchorage, then moved to New Mexico, Texas, now back to Kodiak.
And do you have acting experience?
No.
Well,
I do. I've been in several plays. I am usually what they hire as comedic relief. Because I enjoy being funny. I don't mind dressing up in weird costumes to make myself look as outrageous as possible. I enjoy that. I don't mind people laughing at me. Because if they're laughing at me, then they're laughing with me, because usually I'm laughing too. I do have experience. I've been in several plays, mostly directed by Mike Wall, because he usually knows that I can be funny, and he usually needs some kind of comic relief, and he always tells me, ramp it up, Murdoch, ramp it up. So I've done Death and Taxes. I did Christmas Bells. There's been a couple of other ones I've done, and I don't remember the names of them. And MASH, I was like, there for like, I don't know, one line that I forgot.
It's a great story. She blames it all on Pat Branson.
Yeah,
by the way.
I do. It's all Pat's fault.
What story is that?
Oh, I got out on the stage and I heard Pat Branson is my boss. I work at the senior center, and I heard Pat's laugh, and the lines just went poof right out of my head. And Jared.
And I'm on stage with her.
He was on stage with me, and I just looked at him and said, "Hello." Because I didn't know what else to say. I was like, I am totally blank. But I was funny because I had powder poofing off of my hair, and I was leaving a trail of white as I walked. And so it was funny anyway.
It was funny.
But I did not say one single word that was supposed to be said. I did the next night, though.
Oh, yeah. Every night after that was funny.
So anyway.
So you guys are called the Fairwind Players. What's your name?
Oh, that's probably a question for Pam Foreman.
Not to summon her to the
door. Yeah, not to summon her. Salmon. summon her. I'm not sure where the name comes from, why they decided on the name, but it's a group of local actors, directors, techies, producers, backstage folk who want to do... smaller types of shows that are more challenging and artistic and thought-provoking, or just plain goofy and silly. Something that's not a big grand musical, but usually these are shows that are sometimes can be a little more intimate, sometimes a little more adult themed. But
all right, well, what mic number is that?
Oh, 11.
11. So we're going to have Pam join us right now. And we're going to switch this to mic 11 so that you guys can hear her. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Kayla.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good.
All right. So, could you provide us with some background on the...
Well, Jared was doing a great job telling you a little bit about Fairwind Players. We've been around... Actually, most of us have been doing shows together for 20 years. But we finally decided to form a small group, a troupe, of mostly technical people, the backstage people. Usually you have an acting troupe, mm-hmm. and the acting troupe will go along and do different shows, and sometimes shows are written specifically for a specific troupe, etc. So we're kind of backwards, which is normal. We are more the backstage troupe. So we're the technical people, the directors, and a few of us are also actors. But... we formed a group so that we could put together some shows, as Jared was describing. We wanted to do some stuff that was a little tougher theater than the Arts Council does. A couple of the first shows that we dealt with, one dealt with the Holocaust, one dealt with a pretty dramatic and difficult show about death from cancer. And so we like tackling those tough subjects, that theater that makes you stop and think. And then conversely, we do these goofy things that we just sort of go, okay, here's our serious side, and now we need to relax and just have fun. So we've been doing a little bit of that as well. We do dinner theater every other year or so with the Lions Club, which is a lot of fun. We've got one of those shows coming up in February, and actually that show is being written by a local person too.
Really?
So that's going to be a pretty cool production. Anyway, so that's a little bit of history. The group itself has been together as Fairwind Players since 2007, I think. And Fairwind and Following Seas is where Fairwind comes from. So.
Oh, okay, very cool. And you said there's going to be a dinner theater performance coming up?
Yes, there's a dinner theater performance coming up I think it's February 12th and 13th, whatever that weekend is. It'll be at the Convention Center, and it's in partnership with the Lions Club. So we'll be back talking about that as we get closer to that event.
So planning stage, huh?
Right, right. Well, they're actually still writing the show.
Oh.
So he's writing the show right now, and we'll be putting it together. And it will be, anybody who saw Bogart's face, it'll be kind of a radio theater type show. So it should be fun.
Who's it being written by?
His name just went out of my head. Thank you, Kayla.
Andy,
yes.
Now you know how I feel.
Andy
Ozels. Ozels, thank you.
What? So I Andy. Can I have a line?
Oh. I have no idea what I'm about to say.
Okay, I didn't prep you for this.
So, you know, as Pam mentioned, you know, like last year, Fairwind, we did Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Like the probably heaviest, most intense one
great
that we
show.
Possibly do.
It's
so,
a great show.
Yeah, this year, that was enough to carry, you know, the whole year. So maybe a little levity.
A little levity this
year.
we'll get back to being serious next year.
Oh, yeah.
In the fall of 2016.
Okay. Who played Virginia Woolf?
Let's see.
Well,
Nicole Kidman in The Hours.
It's a reference to Virginia Woolf.
Okay.
So, the actors in that show were Veronica Costa Bolton, Mike Wall, and Jared Griffin and Katie Oliver.
Mm. They were great, too.
That was a four-person show. Again, we like these small shows that focus on the talent of the cast.
Mm. I remember, Virginia, I saw that movie when I was way too young to see it, and I remember two ladies just yelling at each other. It was very scary.
It's a very intense show.
Yeah. It's a bleak intense show.
Yeah, Laurie.
Yeah, Mrs. Levine.
She used the Puma roar to bleep you out.
Can't take me anywhere.
These guys, I'll just do a plug for these two shows. These guys are doing a great job with these shows. There's with Two Across starting off in the beginning, it's kind of a nice back and forth between two strangers on a train. Really a lot of good lines back and forth and some good acting from Jody and Jared. And then in the second show, as they've been talking about, there's comedy back and forth between Lori and Anthony as Mrs. Levine and her son Sheldon that kind of goes over the top. Just a little.
Yay!
So the first show doesn't really go over the top. It's more...
a little more realistic.
It's more realistic comedy and sort of with a romantic twist. And then the second show, as Lori is so good at, goes over the top.
Yes.
That's why I make the big bucks.
That's right.
It was written in my contract.
But this is volunteer-based, right?
All volunteer.
I suspected as much.
and ticket prices are pretty almost volunteer, too. It's only $12 for the show. Mm-hmm. So you can just buy your tickets the night of.
Yeah. Okay. And what were some of the challenges you faced in tackling these particular subjects in these plays?
Well, I know, like, from, like, a pragmatic point of view, we're rehearsing or trying to rehearse and work on two plays in the same space, and with four of us whose schedules are, of course, you know, so we had to, you know, we even had to rehearse on Saturday mornings and Sunday evenings just to fit it in and make everything just the scheduling itself. And so putting together a double feature with different actors, different schedules, different lighting schemes, and that was extremely difficult.
I think it's a challenge being doing a show with just two people.
Oh.
I think it's extremely challenging. You have to keep your energy up. You have to learn all the lines. I just did one before I left Cape Cod with two people, and I swore I would never do it again. And I'm doing it again.
You
and I'm just like
very well, do you?
I just. So I guess never say never.
That's true.
I love two person shows. I love, but I'm so young.
Yes, you are.
the energy. It's it's addicting.
It's fun, but it is a challenge. It's definitely a challenge.
You can't hide.
There's nowhere to hide.
There's
nowhere to hide.
Yeah, and there's only one other person to cover up if you.
That's right.
Goof.
Exactly.
In a bigger show, there's lots of people.
Absolutely.
Who can fill in.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. For me, the biggest challenge was that I just don't have a very good memory.
Good thing this is Reader's Theater.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I took the part. Thanks, Pam.
Looks like that involves
Pam came to me and said, oh, you got to read this. You got to read for this play. You are so perfect. Mrs. Levine, you have to read. And I'm like, I really don't want to do this. And she goes, you got to. So I did. And here I sit.
There you are.
No wonder she detoured me from that one, because that's the one that I mentioned, like, oh, I'd like to do this one. She's like, oh, no, or the other one.
She was like, no, Murd, you got to do this one.
You're perfect.
Anyway.
So are you guys excited for it to debut?
How to get it over with?
To get it over with. I'm ready to shave my head. I'm ready to get rid of this hair.
So did you guys talk about the fact that we open on Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have another time? You have two more performances.
They're all at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what other days?
Just Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week.
Okay. All right.
14, 15, 16.
Limited engagement. Three nights only.
There.
Don't miss it.
Yeah, there you go. Very good.
Can they go to the Art Council? How do they find out more about it?
We have a Facebook page, Fairwind Players, and there's an event thing there. It's also shared on the Arts Council event page or Facebook page. And there's a classified in the paper running now. There's flyers around town.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kayla.
To the listeners as well for listening. And you can find us online.